Patrick, how are you?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
All right. We have all but our most newly confirmed board member present, so we have a quorum. So I'll call the meeting to order. There are no members of the public present, so we will move to the approval of the minutes of the January 21st meeting. Those minutes were sent by email out to the members of the board. Are there any changes or corrections to the minutes of January 21st? If not, is there a motion to receive the minutes?
I move to approve the minutes.
It has been moved. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay.
Aye.
Thank you, Patrick. And the minutes are received. And so now we'll go straight into the executive director's report.
Thank you, sir. And I will just make a note on our minutes. You know, under the DC regulations now, in effect, we don't need to keep minutes, but we are going to continue to keep minutes. But what you may see going forward is a slightly more abbreviated version of the minutes. And we keep the audio recordings now. We audio record the open portion of every meeting, and we're going to be posting those on the website. So because we're doing audio recording, we don't need to keep minutes, but we'll continue to do it so we have a historical record of what happens at the meetings.
This is good that we're being committed to open government, and my sympathy to whoever goes on the internet and listens to an audio of this meeting, they really have a sad life.
All right. Currently, on our critical issues update for our agency report, I will just highlight a few things. Mr. Bondurant is a holdover. His term has expired, and he is awaiting an appointment of his successor. And Assistant Chief Burke is pending appointment as the U.S. Attorney for the District of Columbia. So he is will likely be pending an appointment of his successor. With respect to legislation, the NEAR Act, that's the Office of Police Complaints legislation that contains the legislation of our agency, was passed by unanimous second vote of the DC Council. The mayor has until tomorrow to either sign it or let it go forward for congressional review or veto it or portions of it. And we don't expect anything really to change based on what the mayor submitted in her budget today to the district council. It doesn't look like our legislation is going to be affected. And also we expect that to go to congressional review. Congressional review we expect to be done hopefully by the end of July, depending on how often the Congress will be in session between now and their recess. If they do not have 60 days in session between now and July, we're going to move into the early September before we have final congressional review approval and the legislation will go into effect after that point. Until then, we are working on implementing the act. I met earlier this week with members of the police department, and both OPC and the police department are going to form a working group with different representatives from both of our offices to begin working on the transition for the complaints and the other use of force reporting activities that are going to be changing once the legislation takes effect. So we're looking forward to that, and we're looking forward to a gradual transition as we work our way through all of the many, many issues that are going to crop up even after it goes into effect, and we will work our way through it. And the staff so far, not just the ones that are here, but all of them are going to be a great help. They already have already, and they're looking forward to it too. As far as the body-worn cameras, MPD put out a revised general order last week, revising some of the procedures that are just in accordance with the laws, the legislation that went into effect recently after a congressional review of that legislation. It remains essentially unchanged as far as how it affects our agency, and I listed some of those changes in the report. And those are the main critical issues. A couple things I want to highlight on reports and policies. We should have a we have all the mechanisms in place to get our 6-month report out shortly after March 31st, after the 6-month period ends. It will look significantly like the last 6-month report. It will be a short, more or less pamphlet version of the main statistics. And as a result, we should be able to get that out very early in March. I would hope that when we do, we'll get that to everybody and publicize it. And by the way, when I speak about on the subject of publicizing, once the NEAR Act and the OPC law goes into effect, a lot of the changes we are going to be publicizing once we reach that date. And that will include information about what we do with body-worn cameras. It include information about the new complaint forms that we'll talk about in a minute. And all of the legislative changes. We'll do one public relations rollout of everything. That's how I anticipate it happening, so we do it all at once and get the necessary media attention on that.
On that, Mike, when Iris was serving on the board, we were able to, she was able to help, I think, someone on the staff to do a Spanish language press release, particularly on important matters. Do we have that capability of this, and would that be useful?
Yes, we do, and we have two bilingual people in our office now. Okay. One of the recent investigators that we hired is bilingual, Lindsay Murphy.
I think that there's about, I think, 3 Spanish language periodicals.
And as long as you brought that up, because we are in the midst of many changes, we are in the middle of revising all of our brochures too, and they are in, I forgot how many languages, 11 or 17, I forgot. Does anybody remember? It's at least a dozen different languages that all of our information is in, and we're in the process of revising all of that too, because all of our written materials are going to have to change with the law too. So we'll change all that at the same time.
Do we have a service that does that for us? Does the district government have a office? I mean, obviously, I know you have many talents, Mike, but you're Swahili and Serbo-Croatian, and you know.
I have to brush up on some of
right.
this.
Right. I mean, just we want to make sure there's not any little error in any of these.
Right.
So.
Yeah. The district has a contracting agency that we, what we work through
and
for that.
Competent?
We think so. We really don't know. On some of the languages, we're assuming.
I use them sometimes.
Yeah, do you?
In the course of my work. They have some good people, they have some people who aren't so good.
Yeah.
So if we get lucky, we'll get the good people.
Right. It's not unheard of where you pick up a government pamphlet and mm-hmm. someone says, but I didn't want a new refrigerator.
That's right. Right. And that brings us to our next topic, as a matter of fact, on our outreach. We had the Palestinian Territory Police and Prosecutor representatives, high-ranking officials from Palestine here, and the majority of them were only Arabic-speaking, and they were quite pleased when we handed them our Arabic pamphlets and our Arabic information on how to file a complaint, and no one made a comment about that it was improperly translated or whatever, but they liked that. And they had brought their own translator when they came to our office. Thank goodness. But that was a very good meeting with the Palestine Territories. They were very interested in what we do. I've already mentioned, the Panamanians were very interested in what we do, and we may have some further follow-up with Panama through the State Department. And most recently, the city of Chicago is undergoing review of its oversight agency, and they've contacted us, and we've been
the third foreign country that's visited us here.
Yes. and we've been working with Chicago now on their review of their citizen oversight program. So it's all good. Our outreach programs are really doing well. both when we reach out to other agencies and our outreach programs in the District of Columbia. And like I said, when the law gets changed officially, we will be expanding our outreach within the district itself and to make sure that everybody's aware of what we do and where we are and how to contact us. The other thing I wanted to highlight, and maybe Mona, I'll ask you to talk about this, because that's the last thing I want to talk about anyways before we talk about the statistics, is the citizen complaint forms and how we're looking at that.
So we're going to streamline them, adjust them for not only kind of jurisdiction stuff, but also just the front page, kind of simplify some of the stuff, the boxes that we don't really use or don't really need, maybe get rid of, maybe add other things that we need. And also what we've done just in the last few weeks is changed all of our website to show we have a dedicated email box now that we already have that we do through the hotline account that all the investigators have access to. And we've I just finished today working with Octo and adjusting that account so that it's also we can also use it for all email and all email correspondence. And we posted that link on our website, so now we can accept online, you know, people who want to just send us complaints or inquiries through email directly. It'll come to a, you know, intake box that is being checked constantly throughout the day. And also we wanted to get that all in place because we're working on an e-version of our complaint form that's just with an electronic signature, that is probably, you know, it's really close to being, you know, going live, and then that will be connected to that email box too, so that people can just, you know, directly submit their complaints, and it goes straight to an intake investigator. So,
by close, you mean April, maybe, or May?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we've gone through a couple iterations of the form. It's ready to be posted. It's just we're making some.
We want to test it a few more times and just kind of make sure.
What, once it's live, can you send a link to the board
sure.
We can physically see it? Just
yeah.
Familiar with it. I guess we'll be seeing it in dismissals as they come to us eventually. But it's just
It'd
be interesting to see it online.
Right, and we're so that's the other thing we're kind of tweaking is kind of seeing what it looks like when it's sent and kind of confirming. But the really great thing about it too, coming into, you know, current times is, it's noted here, is that it also has the ability, complainants can upload documents, photographs, video with their complaint, just completely upload everything, and so it all comes together, and so that'll be a really great feature. And my understanding too is that you know, we'll be able to kind of tweak it so that if, you know, because we're already talking about certain required fields and, you know, drop downs and things like that, and so kind of, you know, you never really know how people are going to read those things and stuff like that, so we'll be able to kind of have a little bit of a pilot, just kind of see how things go, and it's really easy to make those adjustments if we need to. So
see, what was happening before was, in most cases, people would have to print out a form and fax it in to us or bring it in or mail it in. Now they're going to be able to scan it in if they have access to a scanner, scan it right to us in the email box, or they'll be able to electronically fill in the blank box and electronically sign it, press the send button, add any video documents to it, and be attached right away. So what we want to make sure of, though, is we get a lot of inquiries, and everybody that's done intake knows we get people calling and inquiring from all over the country. I just looked on today's. It was people from all over the country contacting us about complaints. So we've built in some safeguards into the electronic complaint form that will not allow them to do that. They'll have to confirm that it was Washington, D.C., Metropolitan Police, or housing, or something else, and we got to test that out a little bit to make sure we're not inundated with complaints from other jurisdictions.
Well, on the address line of the incident, will that kick it out if it's you know, this incident happen on?
No, the system won't be able to read that. It's going to be a required field to check, either to check off Metropolitan Police Department Washington or Housing Authority or other. And then the other's gonna kick it out. And then they'll have to contact us, and then we'll talk to them and say, okay, this is where you have to go, or...
Yeah, so that's kind of what we're still trying to figure out how...
That's one example of the different things we have to...
I imagine you don't know until you know.
Exactly.
But the other issue I have is that there could be a surge of complaints, because it's so easy now. You don't have to go find a stamp and stuff like that. So I guess we need to... Do either, any of you have an educated guess? Do we know from other...
I mean, just, we haven't even really, we did post the email address on our website, but haven't really publicized it. And just literally, like, the next day, we started getting inquiries, like, email inquiries. And I think so...
Significant number?
I mean, I don't know how many of those people are sending the emails instead of calling.
Right.
Or how many of those are just emailing and wouldn't have called.
Yeah.
So it's hard to say, and since it's not really publicized, you know, but I mean, it definitely, it had an immediate, you know, immediately we just started seeing inquiries. So, I mean,
we'll
it's
be
hard
smart
to say,
about it.
But I think I anticipate
there will be more.
And we'll just have to kind of see how much of those are just completely out of our jurisdiction. Mm-hmm. And also the other thing, that we can anticipate is it's really easy to just, you know, send it, push the button, but there's still going to be that required kind of follow through and follow up. So I anticipate there could be also maybe more complaints, but also possibly more failure to cooperate or people kind of dropping off the face of the earth once they kind of send it. It's like, oh, well, you have all that. You don't need me to answer any questions or whatever. So that's kind of, something that typically happens in those situations. So I kind of anticipate some of that too, but I think it'll level off, and we'll just have to see. You know, it's just hard to.
I just think we want to be sensitive that staff work isn't become so burdensome that they're going to have to make sure we get more staff or find some other way to deal with this.
So when it's finalized, are we going to do like a press announcement and sort of general outreach to let people know that there's an online fillable form?
We're going to be smart about that, careful about it, because we want to test it out and see what we're going to be. But it'll be, I mean, that's part of the, that's part of the walking the fine line, is we want everyone to know, we want it to be as easy as possible to file complaints, but at the same time, it has to be manageable for us. So we will have to work through those issues, but it will eventually be part of our public relations rollout and offer that. Once we make sure we got the safeguards in place that we're not inundated with, frivolous complaints from other jurisdictions and whatnot. So
without the community partners.
And the community partners too. And they will undergo additional training about all the changes too.
Okay.
So
And MPD stations, I mean, that's one of the things we probably will do sooner than later, just because we want to make sure, because there's still that concern that they're not sending us stuff that they're getting. So I think that is something we'll definitely let, like, the stations know and internal affairs and stuff like that, just that, you know, just to even just get theirs, because
it's a little
leave
bit
no excuse.
It's uncharted territory.
Yeah.
I don't know of another agency that's done this part of it yet. You know, there's email, but there's not filling blank forms yet, so we will have to work through the issues as they arise, but I really think it's important to make it as simple as possible for people to file. You can file an email form, it's just about everything else now in society. It's time for us to get on it too. So.
And the mobile version of the website looks good. That's why.
Isn't it really nice?
It actually is. It's much more approachable than it used to be.
Mm-hmm. It's an actual mobile website now.
Yeah.
For handouts. So. All right.
Anything
so
else? That's
that was it on the complaints. Let's see. We had a really good training last night. We invited all the complaint examiners for the first time ever to sit in this room together with us for a couple hours last night and talk about things, meet each other, meet the staff that need some of the people to write the reports that they read, because that's the part that the board never sees, is the cases that go to complaint examiners for, that are headed for the disciplinary process. And that's an integral part of what we do on a regular basis. So we had a good interaction, good training with them, good feedback with them, and an understanding about, you know, what their role is as part of the Office of Police Complaints and how they represent the community and the good work that they are doing. And we talked about some technical subjects too about, you know, how to draft proper complaint examination merits and findings and things like that. So that was a very helpful session, wasn't it, Mona? I thought it was. I guess the point there is we are doing on a regular basis ongoing training. And you see in the agency reports some of the brown bag trainings that we've been doing. That's for our in-house staff primarily. Paul, I think you're coming on Monday to one of our things.
Exactly, I think I have that done too.
You might have done
well, yeah.
Yep.
I'm going to try to be there unless something happens.
I'll keep forwarding those brown bags and all of our in-service trainings to everybody, so if you can't make it, you certainly are welcome to do so. Some other training we have coming up are all of the investigators will go through the MPD's annual in-service training. What do they call it here, PPD?
Professional development training.
Yeah. That's will be starting shortly, and all of our investigators will be going through probably 1.5 to 2 days of that.
Three days of
the same thing that the MPD officers go through on a regular basis, sitting in the classes with them and networking with them and going through their training and being updated. So that's some exciting things are going on with the training, and I think a lot of the staff like that. That's one of the fun things to do, right, is to go and do the in-service. All right. The next thing is the dismissal schedule. We added Jamira Crowley to the dismissal schedule starting on the end of April. So we will try to get her in for training prior to that time. If we're not able to, we'll have to make an adjustment to the schedule. So that's why I'm bringing that up. And the last thing is status of investigations. Mona?
So I'll just say the same thing I said last time. Numbers look great. Our total opens really low, so we're wait, let me do this. So hopefully we're ready for this inundation, because, you know, everyone's bored. They'll tell you. Just kidding, they're not. But so the numbers are great, and one just kind of highlight, you'll see on the closures, you'll see the decisions. So, you know, we have had a lot of decisions this fiscal year. And so that with the dismissals, you know, are kind of equaled out pretty much where it was last year. Plus we have a number of complaints, a number of complaint examination cases at complaint examinators or and going to. So, I mean, we'll have, you know, 25, at least 25, you know, by this shortly, you know, in another month or two, we'll have, you know, 25 decisions. So, and then that there's still like 4 months left in the year, 5 months left in the year. So there's, you know, a lot of that's kind of caught up backlog. So our last 14 case, our last 13 case, some of our older 15 cases are all there. So that's just wanted to highlight that. So a lot of great decisions. You guys, of course, know that you can go to our website and see the cases that you don't see. Well, actually, you do see some of the dismissals because some of them will, you know, you sign up on the dismissal portions, you know, and then there's always that footnote that talks about those other allegations are going to a complaint examinator. So, so you see some of them, but you'll see the other side of that. And I think that's the main, our, you know, complaints were pretty much where we were last year as far as numbers. You know, our contacts are continuing to go up. I think that's still a lot of the, you know, other jurisdictions, other areas. So we'll see. I mean, that's a good, we'll be able to easily track kind of where we are compared to last year at any given time. So that's always good to be able to do that.
Any kind of trends or anything, Mona, that the police department should be aware of, or is that similar with traffic and no irregularities there?
Are you talking about in complaint like what we're seeing in misconduct, the complaint examination stuff?
Yeah, exactly. And just along those lines?
Well, I would say the trend right now is stop, frisk, and handcuffing. It seems like there's a lot of those and car searches on, you know, with like no reasonable suspicion or real probable cause. So I would say that's kind of the trend I'm seeing right now over the last year. Seems like many of our sustained findings, and even a couple of the complaint examinators made that comment last night in our kind of training about, you know, they're seeing, you know, that too, or commented on some of those cases that they've reviewed and made decisions on. So that would be one thing that I feel like we've had quite a bit of this last year, or that we've a lot of sustained findings on. So.
Right. So we're getting about the same number of complaints, but as you see, we have half as many open cases because the investigators are getting through them, and we've streamlined the processes, and I think that puts us in a pretty good position for when the law takes effect, for an increase of complaints, which I anticipate coming in. The X factor on how many complaints we're going to get, it's uncharted territory, we don't know, but the X factors are the body cameras, is one of them, and what effect they will have on the number of complaints we're going to get. Presumably fewer complaints as a result. And then the other thing that we have at our disposal under the new law that we did not have before is we'll be able to refer cases back to the district commander for a rapid resolution rather than doing a complete investigation in our office, and we will be able to refer officers for policy training as a disposition. So we will have some new tools available and some new technology available, and no one in this line of work anywhere in the country knows what effect that's going to have. We've had a lot of discussions with the staff. They are ready for change. They are ready to be flexible about it, because that's what we're going to have to do, is just be flexible about it and make adjustments on as we go through it, and as we get the numbers in and make whatever adjustments that are necessary. So that's all good things. The last thing on regular business I wanted to bring up is we do need to set our next meeting date. And I wanted to suggest it's not the third weekend, it's the fourth weekend, because there's some unavailability on the third weekend for me, actually. I have my son number two is graduating from college and I will be, I have to attend that, so. Instead of the meeting.
We're so loosey-goosey.
Yeah.
What I propose is the following Thursday, then it would be May 26th as the next meeting date. Did I get that right?
May 26th.
I don't know for sure the date yet, but there's a 50-50 chance I will be in California because my partner needs to visit her stepfather who's in hospice. We're not 100% certain of the timing yet.
All right.
So, but he wants to go ahead with that date, Bobby?
Yeah. Because I can't tell you whether I can be there or not to any certainty yet. I just want to let you know that I may not be able to.
All right.
That's a Thursday, right?
Yeah.
Again, okay.
Assistant Chief Burke, does May 26th work for you if as a potential date?
No, that'll be fine for me.
Okay.
So we'll set that date then?
Set that date, yeah.
That completes the agency report.
All right. Any of the board members have any other business or questions?
No, it's just Chief Burke. One last question, and I'm sorry if I missed this earlier. How has the workload been with the addition of body-worn cameras? Is that going to cause any need for increased staffing or capacity to review any film, or has that been an issue thus far?
It hasn't really been an issue so far because there's just the two districts, and interesting enough, the 7th district and 5th district are historically lower complaint-wise for us for whatever reason. So it's actually been kind of a good transition for us to kind of test out with that. And what we're kind of seeing is it takes a little extra time early to kind of review and search and that kind of thing, but we anticipate it's going to save time on the back end of investigation. So even though we may have to kind of get on things and spend a little more time early kind of getting it and processing through all the video, we think that it'll save time later in the investigation. So so far it hasn't really made a big impact yet, but you know, we are looking at if we need to adjust resources kind of early on in intake and things like that for the, you know, identifying those cases and tagging them and then reviewing them early on. I don't know if that answers does that answer your question?
Yeah, that's good to know because we've got a whole bunch more coming online this summer, and I know it has impacted some of our supervisory time as far as doing the reviews.
I do think that that is something that I think, especially with the cases that are tagged, and I know we had a case last week where one of the officers going through the process of, you know, getting in touch with the internal affairs person and being able to review their tagged video before they came in and gave a statement to us. I know, you know, and there's one case where he got to do it, but he called us like the day before saying, you know, I haven't heard from anyone yet. And then, you know, later that day he did and it worked out fine. But we were talking about that, you know, with that volume, you know, that might be kind of, you know, an issue or a timing issue if there's then a lot of cases where officers are, you know, having to have someone else kind of unlock it for them and stuff like that, which is a good process and they shouldn't, you know, it's a great process, but it's just, I can see that might be a problem with bigger volume.
Okay. And then just the last question, any difficulty getting access to the videos or is that all
moved? Yeah, no, that's no problem at all. And the people, Derek Meeks and I can't remember the commander's name, they've been wonderful. Anytime there's been any questions or any tagging things or anything like that, they've been very receptive and responsive, and within minutes or hours they're on it. So the coordinators have been fantastic. So definitely they've been great with us and just resolving things very quickly if there is anything. So
okay, good to hear. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else? We don't have any need for an executive session, do we?
We do have a short executive session.
We do.
Today,
okay. So is there a motion to adjourn the regular meeting and move into executive session?
So moved.
Those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. We will adjourn the regular meeting until May and now go into executive session.